Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, thank you oh so much for the many, many things you've already blessed us with this day. And now the awesome opportunity to get back into your word, and help us now as we do that to draw close to you, build our faith and trust in you and your word as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Title of this one is Life is Flying By. So quickly, life is flying by. We look out and about and we see some of the youngsters that were just little ones running around. Now they're up and grown and having kids of their own or off to college or starting their careers. And it's just like so quickly. It's so quickly the time passes by. And we got to know that we should cherish every moment that we have. And we don't know how many more moments we got. We don't know how long it's going to be till the Lord returns. And we don't know how long it's going to be till he calls us home. It could happen so quickly. In a flash, we don't know. We step out of here and a plane could crash and kill all of us. Right on top of us. We don't know. Big tree fall down or something. Or your car malfunction and you wind up having a serious accident and die on your way home. We don't know. So we need to be ready to go at any moment and cherish every moment that he gives us. And in James speaks about this in James chapter 4, about how our life is just fleeting away. It's like a vapor. In James chapter 4, just a few verses here, pick it up in verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. These are those that have those long-term plans all worked out. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. See, there's nothing wrong with making long-term plans, but you need to make those long-term plans, including the Lord in them. If it is the Lord's will, we will do this or do that. But if it's not the Lord's will, we need to let the Lord's will be done. As he teaches us in Matthew chapter 6, in verse 9, in the model prayer, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. But not my will be done, it's thy will be done. The Lord's will be done. That's what we need to strive for. And in verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. Notice, give us this day our daily bread. Not give us today enough to do us the whole year. No, give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So we need to forgive others and be forgiving. And this prayer here about temptation, it's the temptation that we all have within us to be selfish, to sin, and to be contrary. It's lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, the evil that we have all the potential of within us. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. He has the power. It's his kingdom, his glory, not ours. And in verse 14 and 15, the way he wraps it up here about forgive us our debts as we forgive others. In 14, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's a very interesting one. Because we know when we become born-again Christians, we are washed into blood. We are forgiven for everything that we've committed that is a sin, that is contrary to the Lord. All gone, wiped away, clean. as far as the east is from the west. But from that moment to judgment, everything that we do is going to be looked at. If you go on and live a life that is God glorifying, and you are loving the Lord with all your existence and love others as yourself, the two primary commandments that the Lord focuses on that blanket all the others, then you're going to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But if you mess up, if you fall, if you get unforgiveness in your heart, a grudge against somebody, you don't forgive them, then you're going to carry that to judgment, and that's going to be held against you. We need to continuously be praying for the Lord to give us understanding and clarity of His will in our lives and our current status. Lord, is there something in me that needs to be taken care of? Is there something in me that needs to be wiped away? Is there a grudge? Is there a resentment? Is there an unforgiveness? Is there a memory that just haunts you of an event that took place that brings anger to you? Then you might have some unforgiveness in that. You got to pray that that be taken away, that you have that forgiveness for others, so that you can have full honor, full glory, full reward given to you come judgment day. Take it to the Lord. Ask for forgiveness. We got to understand that we are bought with a price by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and that we need to present ourselves to Him because we are His. As He says in Romans 12, verses 1 through 3, I go here so often because it applies to the way we need to behave, our attitude as Christians. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren. Notice, this is Paul to the church at Rome talking to the Christians because he says brethren. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's only reasonable that we should sacrifice ourselves in that way. I'm not talking about kill yourself for the Lord. I'm talking about saying, Lord, I am not my own, I am yours. Guide me, lead me, take over my life completely, and your will be done in my life. And it's only reasonable that we do that. Get yourselves out of the way, let the Lord come forward. In verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He indwells us with the Holy Ghost. He gives us a new mind, a new way to think. If we listen to Him, He can alter our mind in the way that we think. Then everything that we desire will be in the will of the Lord. When we have that right mindset that is available to us. But as Paul has written elsewhere, there's a tug of war that's going on in our lives. The flesh against the spirit. That's that battle, that constant battle. Paul was going through it. He refers to it. He lets us know that we're going to have that battle too. But lean toward the Spirit. Stay away from the flesh. Verse 3, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. See, some people become Christians and they become self-righteous. They become pious. They become so holy in their mind that they are so great, that they are so perfect, that it's not a benefit to themselves or anyone else. And he's warning them there. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought. Because when you get up to that point, well, I'm above sin, I'm above temptation, I'm not going to fall, I'm not going to stumble, next thing you know, you're going to be on your face. Because the Lord will teach us that you need to humble yourself. Ask for mercy, ask for guidance, ask for the power of the Holy Ghost. Stand on His might, not your own might. These that he's speaking of there are trying to say that it is by their might, their power, that they are able to stay on a right pathway. But it's wrong. It's by the power of the Lord. We stand on his power, his might. Then we can do things right. Then we can be in his perfect will and bring honor and glory to him in everything that we say, everything that we do. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, a couple of verses here, referring to the fact that we are not our own. We're bought with a price. As it reads, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" We become the dwelling place of the Holy Ghost, and we need to let him come forward, not ourselves. "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." In our body and in our spirit, which belong to the Lord. Acknowledge that. Know that. Hang on for the ride, because sometimes that's a challenging ride. Yes, definitely. But always acknowledge that everything is the Lord's, including ourselves. We belong to the Lord. We're bought with a price. He bought everybody back by his power, by his sacrifice, by his finished work. He has bought everyone back, even those that will not trust in him. They belong to him too. That's what gives him the power and authority to do with them as he pleases come judgment day. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, some teaching here to young protege Timothy. Paul teaching Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Perilous times. We know that we are in what they consider the last days. This is the last dispensational time period, you might say. And we are in a time of grace. And in this time, perilous times will come. It reads, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." And we sure see a lot of that. That's that selfishness that comes forward in people. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. And we see a lot of that on display. Without natural affection, of course we could go into a whole sermon on that with all this weird perversions that they're promoting in the world today. Truce breakers, false accusers, a lot of that going on. You hear a lot of that going on in the news media with politics and so forth, the false accusers. Incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. And we sure see a lot of that, the despisers of those that are good. Those that are going contrary to the Christians. There's more and more increase of persecutions to Christians. There's more Christians being killed daily. We don't hear about all of it, but there are Christians being killed around the world. "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." These people that claim that they have a religious value, but they do not. They try to proclaim themselves as Christian and with Christian values, but they have none. They are of the devil. Reads, "For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts." They can cause more and more people to follow their false teaching. "Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." Ever learning in man's knowledge, in man's wisdom, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth because they haven't trusted in Jesus Christ and have the real knowledge, the true knowledge, the knowledge that really counts. They don't have that. They got man's knowledge. And like he says in Romans 1:22, "Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." And we see more and more of that going on with the perversion and the twisted teachings that are going on in the public schools and the universities and so forth today. It's horrible. It's scary to send your kids out these days to go to public school or to go to college. And unless you know they're a good, solid Christian that can stand up against that, you got to pray for them because there's a real challenge out there for them. And over in Ephesians chapter 5, we see some awesome teachings in Ephesians 4 and 5 here about Christians and Christian behavior. But let's look at this in chapter 5, where he picks up talking to the Christians and the way the Christians need to behave and attitude they need to have because life is so short, because it is fleeting away. There is, be therefore followers of God as dear children. Dear children. Not disobedient children, but dear. I mean submissive and honoring children. And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for his sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Notice, he's talking to a group of Christians in Ephesus, in the church at Ephesus. And apparently there were things going on in that church that shouldn't have been going on, like fornication and uncleanness and covetousness. So he's calling them on it. Shouldn't be told that you guys are participating in such things. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. See, if we're truly thankful for what the Lord has done for us, saved us out of an eternity in the lake of fire, pulled us out of that, saved us, washed us as in his blood. If we really know that and acknowledge that, we're going to be thankful for what he has done for us. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. The false teachers out there, those that pull people out of the obedient service of the Lord, those that detour people off of the straight and narrow. That's what he's talking about here. And when you become a disobedient child of God, the wrath of God can come upon you. Or if you are a disobedient child to beginning with and you weren't even a Christian at all, then that's also under this as well, a disobedient child. Whether it is a disobedient Christian or is one that has never become a Christian, the wrath of God is going to come upon them because of their behavior. Verse 7, be not ye therefore partakers with them. Pointed out, Christians don't live an ungodly life like the ungodly out there. But way too often we see people trying to accept the world, bring the world into a Christian setting, bring the world into the church, bring the world's ways, beliefs, and desires into the church, and their perversions even into the church. You see churches that have the gay pride flag flying outside. Total sacrilege. You have churches that have lesbian or homosexual pastors. Total sacrilege. Total of Satan. They're partakers with the world. They're going to be held accountable. For ye were sometimes darkness. Now here he's reminding all of us, just like he said earlier, don't think too highly of yourself. Now he's going to get all of us. Were sometimes darkness. But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, not as children of darkness. Stay out of that darkness. Verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Now, through the indwelling Spirit, through listening to the Spirit, you can understand and know what is acceptable unto the Lord, and what is his will. And that's what he's speaking of there. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them or expose them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doeth make manifest is light. Wherefore, he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then, that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Over and over we see this reference to the will of the Lord. How do we find out what the will of the Lord is? By studying His Word, by praying, by listening to the Holy Ghost. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's why we have these songs in the church, fulfilling what He's telling us here. When you do that, and when you get those songs so embedded in you, they start playing over and over all throughout your day. Some of them get stuck in your head, and you're able to just repeat them all throughout the day. It's awesome. It's a constant connection, constant prayer through that, that communication with the Lord. And in verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks. Over and over we see that. The importance of being thankful. Thankful for what He has done for us. Thankful for what He has given us. Thankful for what He has provided us an opportunity to participate in, such as spreading the gospel, because we don't know how much longer it's going to be. We have friends, we have relatives that we know are not born again. We don't know how much more time it's going to be before judgment comes, and then they're going to be held accountable. We need to reach them. Time's fleeting by. In 1 Peter chapter 1, pick it up in verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 reads, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind." The mind. If we yield to the Lord, He gives us a new mind. He dwells us with the Holy Ghost. So we need to firm that up, gird that up, strap it up, get it ready for service. "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Be sober. That's not just talking about substance abuse. It's talking about frame of mind. Be clear-minded is what He's talking about. "As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to your former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." He came down, He took on flesh, He lived amongst us some 33 years, gave us the example of what to live like, how to truly love others. He was holy, we need to be holy. He is holy, we need to be holy. Verse 17, "And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear." Note, fear of accountability. "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." Acknowledging we have forgiveness because of the finished work of Jesus Christ, because of His sacrifice. "Seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." Over and over we see that reference. Love, love, love. "Being born again." Notice, born again. Different. Coming to life. The spiritual birth that we go through. "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. The grass grows up, either mow it down, or it dies and spreads the seeds and dies here and gone, season by season. It's up and it's gone. Just like us. Not going to be around much longer. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. We have it preserved for us to be able to study. We have the word of God right here. And it is so awesome that he has preserved it for us to be able to look back into, to be able to study, to give us that understanding of his will in our lives. But there are many out there that do not have that. There are many out there that haven't got a Bible to be able to open up and be able to study. But they depend on the Holy Ghost to teach them. They can do that as well and be taught and abide by that. In 2 Corinthians, in chapter 5, as we understand and know this body is decaying, it's withering away, we're going to have a glorified body given to us in that moment in a twinkling of an eye. And in that process, as we grow old now, looking forward to receiving that glorified body, he's referring to that here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. In that we can rejoice. When we see the time flying by so quickly, when we see our bodies starting to wither and fade away because we're no longer as strong as we were, we can't think quite as sharp as we used to think, we can't see as well as we used to be able to see, we can't breathe quite as good as we used to, can't walk as good as we used to, as we start to decay and decline, we can rejoice knowing that we have a glorified body in heaven, not made by hands, but eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. You want to be clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. In order to have that, you've got to be born again. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. It isn't that we want to go into non-existence. No, we want to have that glorified body. We want to be with the Lord for eternity. Now, he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. That earnest of the Spirit means that down payment, that connection to a contract, that agreement of what you have to look forward to. That's what we've been given, the Holy Ghost. And that's only a partial payment given to us. That's a promissory note given to us. And it lets us know what we have to look forward to. It's going to be so great, so awesome. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore, we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We're looking forward to that glorified body, but we also got to acknowledge that we got an answer for what we've done in this body. So get it right, get it prayed up. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, as it says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. He can cleanse us from all that. So let's take it to him. Let's get it cleansed. And let's be looking forward to that glorified body that we have promised. And know that this life is just flying by. This life is just the vapor. This life is just basic training, getting ready for the next phase. What are we going to be like? What's that body going to be like? We don't really know. As he tells us in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, sons and daughters, of course, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. So we don't know exactly what we're going to be like for eternity. And we don't know exactly what we're going to be like for the millennial kingdom, which is going to be the next great phase. But we know what he says right here. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. To know that we are going to be given the blessing of being like Jesus Christ, however he chooses to be, the one that has ultimate authority and ultimate power, how he chooses to be, he's going to allow us to be like that. Not more powerful than him, not equal to him, but like him in like manner. Verse 3, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Jesus Christ is pure. We need to be pure. How are we found pure? By being washed in the blood of Jesus Christ and keeping it clean by taking it to the Lord daily, asking forgiveness. And that hope that he speaks of here. And every man that hath this hope, hope there again is confident anticipation and expectation of the fulfillment of the prophecies and promises of God. When we truly have that, we know what we have to look forward to. We know that we're going to be like him. We know that this life is flying by. It's fleeting away. It's going to be here and gone so quickly. But as he said, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. But look what we got to look forward to be like Jesus Christ. That is so awesome. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we truly thank you for the blessings you pour upon us each and every day. The blessed opportunity to take a single breath that you have given us, to be able to use that breath then to bring honor and glory to you and to praise you. Help all of us do that with all the life that we have left to be fully obedient to your will. And we truly thank you for it all. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen.